There will always be misunderstandings and disagreement in relationships. But what if you could change one thing and you could significantly reduce those problems? Is that even possible?
Let's see what the Bible says about that.
Hey, welcome to the podcast. I'm glad you're here for this one. If you're watching on YouTube, you can go ahead and like and subscribe to our channel. We have got videos coming out every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. If you're listening through Spotify or whatever else it is, I'm glad you're here with us. This is one we have already had a lot of communication about as we have been planning this podcast. It's taken a lot of discussion, a lot of communication, reading each other.
Yep.
As we're literally and not even like we weren't even intentionally being like, oh, we should put this into practice as we're putting this together. But we literally were putting this into practice
as we
were putting this podcast together about communication and how to help out your relationships.
Yeah. I mean, as followers of Jesus, we should be good at this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the very essence of what he is.
Mm-hmm.
He is the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. He is the communication from heaven to us. And then we are called to then communicate to others. So it ought to be something that we're good at. I mean, we should be ones who know how to love, show patience, be understanding, be clear, be bold, be courageous. All of those should be things that we're good at. But sadly, often, even within the Christian realm, that doesn't always happen. So when I was much younger in the faith, I heard someone give a definition of communication, and I heard it, and I did not understand what in the world it meant. I remember chewing on it for a long time, years, decades.
Wow.
And I feel like I'm only now beginning to understand really what it means. So here was the definition. The person said, good communication is knowing how to steer past the roadblocks in another person's mind or heart.
Wow.
Okay. That's just a lot.
Yeah. Let's break it on down.
Yeah, so think about roadblocks. I mean, think about a road. And I can picture all this because we're all familiar with driving on the road, and all of a sudden there's a roadblock.
You've been on I-35 before.
It's because there's usually some construction, or there's maybe something has happened to the road. There's potholes. There's an accident. Someone's been hurt. Someone's broken down on the highway. And you have to be, if you're a good driver, you know how to steer past and go around the roadblocks to get to your destination. So in that sense, when we communicate, we have something we're wanting to say, something we want to communicate to someone else. We have a destination, a place we want to get to. But everybody in their own heart and mind has their own set of roadblocks, things that over time, maybe the roadway's gotten damaged along the way. Maybe there's some things have happened, some hurts have happened. Maybe there's some potholes in the road. Maybe there's been some accidents on the road. And because of that, it's hard for them to hear unless someone knows how to get past the roadblocks and steer clear of them to get to the destination of the other person's heart.
Yeah, because otherwise, if you just are trying to communicate without taking in their experience, their life, what they're going through, their personality, their demeanor, and all the things, how you communicate, the message may not actually even get to them.
It's true.
They get hung up at a roadblock, and you're like, I've literally been saying this 100 times, and you've never actually understood what I've said.
Yeah.
You know,
and then they say, I've never heard you say that.
Yeah, you never said that. And it's like, wait a second. Yeah, I think I actually have. And so it's important, again, as we're going to talk about communication, relationships, talking about one-on-one, talking about the day-to-day, and talking about the big picture, talking about conflict resolution, all the kind of stuff.
But all of that.
At the end of the day, good communication, the one who knows how to get the point in you to the point in someone else, you are taking in all that another person is.
Yep.
So there would be a understanding of another person or a knowledge of another person.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, so communication is the key to an effective relationship. In fact, if there's no communication, there's no relationship. But we all know that sometimes communication breaks down. Sometimes there are misunderstandings, unintentional, usually. You know, no one sets out to try to create conflict, hopefully, or misunderstanding. But there are times that we say the wrong thing, There are times we say the wrong thing at the wrong time. That makes it worse.
Yeah.
Sometimes we say the right thing at the wrong time. Mm-hmm. And that's just as ineffective.
Mm-hmm.
We get stuck behind a roadblock when it happens. Sometimes we say the wrong thing in the wrong way, and you get stuck behind a roadblock.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you say the right thing, but you say it in a wrong way, and you still get stuck behind the roadblock. So if that happens and there's no resolve to it, then the unresolved hurt turns into anger, resentment, isolation, bitterness, and then a break in the relationship.
Yeah.
I think everybody can understand that process.
Yeah.
But I think where we're headed today is, is there something we can do? What do you do to help avoid having to have so many stops on the highway?
Yeah, exactly.
Is there a way to not get stuck behind roadblocks and not communicate?
Because
it's frustrating.
Yeah. And I think something, laying the groundwork for where we're headed today, I think it's important to understand that communication, again, that is like from one thing that is in you, one idea, one concept, whatever, that's in you that you're trying to communicate to another person is more than just literally making verbal noises that try to get into someone else's ear that they would understand that.
Right.
Communication is way more than that. Communication is is not just literally saying words to an individual and then hoping that they just grasp everything, but it is a whole body experience, a whole being experience to another whole being that you're trying to communicate to.
Yeah. Where they actually want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
And then they actually hear it.
Yeah. And receive it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to look at some words from Jesus today, and because I believe he has answers for us on even how to communicate like we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe they will reduce the amount of conflict, misunderstanding that we have. Not going to eliminate it because we still live in a world that is tainted and fallen, and we are still living on this side of heaven. So not until we are in heaven will it be perfect and complete and no more pain, no more tears. But here there will be. But I believe there is a way to significantly reduce it, and there is a way where we can learn to drive past those mental roadblocks and a way to make instant course correction as you're traveling, as you're communicating, make course correction to get to your destination, which is the heart of another person.
Yeah. So. And again, I think it's very important where we're going is like the idea of in the midst of the conversation, making the course corrections to where you maintain the heart of the communication. And it's not, I'm just going to say whatever, and then maybe I'll have to clean up my mess later if you didn't like it.
Yeah.
But that it would be, I'm saying something. Oh, I'm realizing this maybe not received the way that I want it to. Let's change and adapt, and then here we go.
Right.
Continue on as we're going. Not just in the crazy big moments of life, but in just the day-to-day.
Yeah, day-to-day conversations.
Mm-hmm.
It's real easy to get caught up in just one-way communication. I'm going to think about what I want to say and how I'm going to say it, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That is truly just one-sided communication, though.
Mm-hmm.
That is, I'm putting the billboard up, and I'm going to blare it in your face. Yeah. And
you better respond.
You better respond. Yeah, I'm going to get the megaphone out and shout away. But if that happens, what you're doing is you're getting caught up in thinking what you have to say is the most important thing, that you need them to believe it, you need them to know it, you want them to hear, and add in just a little bit of relationship tension, add in a little bit of, I really need to feel affirmed when I say this, or add in a little bit of, I feel a little bit of insecurity, and man, now you're creating more holes in the highway. You just create the need for more roadblocks. So we want to get to a place where it's not just about me, but it's about the other person hearing. So generally, we know what we want to say, but not so many people know how to craft what they want to say so that someone else can hear them. And there are two parts to conversation and communication. There's what I want to say, but then there is how you are hearing it, perceiving it, and processing it. And a wise communicator, and I believe we have been given these skills in Jesus, communicates with both of those things in mind, and they're absolutely necessary. I need to be confident in what I want to say, confident in my motives, and I also need to have real clarity in knowing how to communicate this. So let's look at some words from Jesus and make some application here. So John 15, verses 12 through 13, Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." So in some ways, Jesus is establishing a new covenant here, because he is going to say, now the way you're going to love from here forward is going to be based on how I love you, which is going to be by laying down his life.
Mm-hmm.
So he establishes this pattern. Love one another, but do it in the same way that I loved you. And then he gives this definition. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. So here is the epic, all-time great definition of love, is you lay down your life for someone else. You sacrifice, you give up for what you want for the sake of someone else. And of course, Jesus does this for us. He lays down his life so that we can have peace with God, so that we can have our sins forgiven, so that we can be free from carrying shame and guilt in our life. And we know that truth. But the truth of how we live that out is what we need to discuss today, because he says, I want you to love one another in the same way I've loved you. So in other words, I want you to now do what I've done for you. And I want this to be part of just ongoing life. This is how you relate.
This is your being, not just your doing, but your being.
Exactly. And he says that it here's what great love is. In fact, the greatest love is laying down one's life, everything about you, for the sake of another person. In other words, I'm going to show you how much I love you by placing your needs above my own. Jesus did that. I'm going to be so passionate about you hearing me that I'll sacrifice what I have to so that it will happen. I love you so much, I will adjust me so that you can hear.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, not out of like, I'm terrified that this person is whatever. You know, I'm afraid that they might receive it so wrong, so I'm going to just water down what I actually have to say.
Yep.
But I know what I want to say. I have something I want to communicate.
Yep.
And I want to make sure that this person can receive what I want to communicate. And so I want to do this in a loving way, in a confident way, in a like upright way, in a sense as well. You know, not like cowardly, not like, oh, please don't take this the wrong way. Yep. But, you know.
Yeah. This is not fear of what other people think.
Mm-hmm.
This is not changing the message because of what someone else might think. That would be compromise. That would be deceitful.
Yeah.
This we're talking about is having confidence in what you want to say.
Clarity.
And having clarity in how you communicate it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we find this principle throughout Scripture. Jesus was confident in what he came to communicate.
Yeah.
He did not change, soften, dilute, or weaken the message of what he wanted to say because he was afraid of what we might think.
Exactly. Yeah.
He didn't have a continual marketing campaign trying to find out what people thought about what he was doing and then adjusting his message so that they wouldn't be offended. That's not what happened.
Mm-hmm.
He was adjusting his message because he was clear in what he wanted to say, and he wanted as many as possible to hear and to follow him. So if that's what he did, then that is to be what we do. So now we're going to bring that home into the context of relationships and even into day-to-day communication. This truth applies here. This means that when I'm communicating, I am going to seek to communicate in such a way that you hearing is as important, if not more important, than my own preferences.
Yeah.
It doesn't change my message.
Yeah.
But my preferences and how I might even want to say it, I'm going to lay aside and adjust so that you can hear it with clarity. The Bible says that Jesus was the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. He adjusted his preferences so that there might be clarity in what we needed to hear from him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So again, this means when I get into day-to-day communication, and I'm going to put this in context of the people we love the most first. So you can think of this in terms of those closest to you. I'm going to communicate, and when I do, I'm not going to be so wrapped up in what I'm thinking, feeling, wanting to say, as much as I am going to be on also watching how you're hearing what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I keep talking and you've tuned me out, what difference does it make if I keep talking?
Literally what I was going to say, what benefit is there if you're listening to this and you're like, ah, come on, I can just say, I just need to say the things that I have on my mind.
Yeah.
And then they'll just receive it if they want to, kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
What benefit is there in you even talking if the other person is not even have any desire to listen, or
yeah,
if they're going to hear it in the wrong way?
Yeah.
You're not even communicating at that point. You are like saying words, but
yep,
you're not communicating.
No, and I know people like that who say, look, I'm just going to say what I'm going to say, and they can just deal with it.
Yeah.
Well, you just told me a whole lot about what your relationships look like.
Yeah.
I can tell already. Because mm-hmm, you've put you above everybody else,
mm-hmm,
is what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't adjust even your communicating and say, look, I'm going to be confident what I say, but I want to be clear that you hear it. And I mm-hmm want to make sure, and I will adjust what I need to make sure you hear. Now, that means I got to be watching all of the indicators mm-hmm that tell me whether or not the message is getting through.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to keep my eye on the road. I got to keep my eye on the car. I got to keep my eye on the destination. So what that looks like in a relationship is I'm going to be watching someone's eyes. I'm going to be watching how they're receiving the message. You can tell a lot. Just look into the eyes of someone while you're talking. Look at their face. You can, if you'll watch, they're telling you everything you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
They're telling you about their mood. They're telling you about whether they're hearing you or not. They're telling you about whether it is whether they're interested in what you have to say. They're telling you whether or not they are tuning you out.
Yeah.
But it's important, and it is incumbent upon us as a communicator to be reading that. And if I see they have shut me out, tuned me off, whatever,
mm-hmm,
if I can see their heart changing, their attitude changing, it's up to me to adjust to try to communicate and get past the roadblock. Because apparently a roadblock has come up.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
again, like knowing someone is listening, and that is obviously important in your communicating, mm-hmm, but it is not the time to be like, hey, pop, pop, you know, clapping.
Right.
Listen, I'm so important, whatever, you know, but it's to be, hey, how can I change the way I'm communicating to get to you?
Exactly.
To your heart, you know. And so that's, again, not just in like conflict resolution. When things are really intense or you got really important business matters you got to get to. And it applies in all those
areas
as well. Yeah, but just even in the day-to-day, even if you're catching up on the day with a friend or with a spouse or whatever, and if there's not even like actual communication because you haven't addressed whatever, something else, you know, then we need to be aware, okay, what is it in the whole being process of this communicating?
Yep.
What is the roadblock? And then how can I navigate around that? It doesn't have to be like, hey, here's all your roadblocks. You're not listening to me.
Yeah.
That's also ineffective communicating, you know, I would say.
So you watch all the indicators. You watch their eyes. You listen to the tone of their voice as they respond to you.
Yeah.
Listen to what that sounds like. Watch body language. Yeah, are they still toward you? Are they turned away from you?
Mm-hmm.
Are they in an open posture? Are they in an aggressive posture? You know, sometimes Heather and I'll be talking and we'll be doing things in the house. You know, maybe, you know, she's taking something into the laundry room or I'm taking something off to another room. And if we're in the middle of a conversation, we'll usually stop until we can both be back in the room together,
mm-hmm,
because just for that little moment right there, not only are you having to talk a little louder because you just went different rooms,
mm-hmm,
but all of a sudden now you can't read the other person. And so it's critical that you read the other person,
mm-hmm,
and make adjustments along the way.
Mm-hmm.
If you get directions to a destination you want to go to and you get in your car and you know, Google Maps is telling you here's the path you take, you don't just get on the highway and floor it. Mm-hmm. No, as you travel, you start watching, are there cars in mm-hmm. my path? Is there a roadblock along the way?
Yeah.
Is there traffic? I need to adjust along the way. And this is what we do in conversation, in good communication. So I'm going to watch how you're responding to the words I say. And if I notice one word, one phrase, makes your eyebrows go down, then it's indicator. I need to stop. I need to adjust. I need to clarify. I need to back up. Mm-hmm. I need to turn. This is what the communicator does. Mm-hmm. I'm going to adjust if I noticed your heart changing. I'm going to make you my focus when I communicate. I know what I'm going to say. I already know. But I have to make you the focus when mm-hmm. I communicate. I have to make it less about me, more about you. I have to make it so that at the end of the day, I learn what is most important to you, and I know how to drive right to your heart and help you hear what it is I want to communicate. And I even start looking for phrases, tones that wound, that cause mm-hmm. you to not hear. I don't want you to have to put up more roadblocks. This is all so important because, again, communication is about what I want to say. It was about what heaven wanted to say to us, mm-hmm. but it's also about how we hear it, which is why Jesus became the one who was the Word who became flesh. Now, I think we all know this already because experience has taught us this. Mm-hmm. Now, whether mm-hmm. or not we learned it mm-hmm. is a different story, but we've all had this happen to us where we have communicated to someone and we know that what we said or the way we said it caused a hurt. We've been there. We've done that. Maybe there have been times where you've backed up and thought, okay, I'm going to check my intentions and I'm going to check my words and I'm going to make sure that I don't offend, that I don't create more tension. I want to try to drive past the roadblocks. And so you check your intentions and you check your words and it still causes hurt. Sometimes that can happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's because the other person has another roadblock. And you can say, well, that's not fair. That's not mm-hmm. good. Mm-hmm. You can say what you want, but it's a reality. And effective communicators know how to recognize the roadblock when it comes up and then begin the process of steering past it, past the potholes, the breakdowns, the accidents,
yeah.
the hurts that have happened along the way. So, again, yeah. we know this is what Jesus did for us. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and he dwelt among us. Mm-hmm. Heaven had heart and a message to communicate. And God wanted to communicate it to us, people who are not eternal, people who are finite in our mm-hmm. flesh, people who have who had sin, people who heard from a wounded position, people who were selfish. And so when heaven wanted to send a message to us, heaven sent it in the form of flesh and blood like us. Mm-hmm. God sent his son and the Word became flesh. And that becoming flesh was an adjustment. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it had to be, mm-hmm. you know, for the Son of God who had only known eternity, seated next to the Father, the joy of the Holy Spirit and the Son and the Father all together in unity and being one. And all of a sudden now here he is separated from them in body form, taking on weakness like us, mm-hmm. experiencing pain like us. He adjusts so that we can hear the message. And he kept doing that until yeah. the day he laid down his life and fully displayed the message of there is salvation by believing in Jesus and following him.
Yeah. So that whole idea is incredibly important to us. Again, in the day-to-day, daily communication that mm-hmm. we are continually reading and adjusting on the fly, even in the midst of conversations, not mm-hmm. just like when you look back at the day and you're like, wow, why did all my conversations end this way? You know, but like, why does everyone run away from me?
Why don't I have any more friends?
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's obviously a time that you should like consider what's going on. But
right.
even before the disastrous thing happens or whatever, but on the fly, like in the yeah. middle of the conversation, if you realize, oh, there was a reaction to that, there should be a sense of, oh, I need to adjust. And now I've just learned something about this person as well.
Right.
And I'm not going to change what I'm going to say. I'm not going to change the message I need to communicate or just my character towards someone or an individual, you know, whatever it is. But I need to understand how to relate to that person and then how to communicate with that person. And so,
I was going to say, I know it can swing in different directions because it's possible to swing so far out of balance to the side of I'm reading the room only that people start compromising what they say. And they say to one group one thing and they say to another group another thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, we call them social chameleons or people who just fear what people think. They change who they are and what they are because they're desperate for other people's approval. That's not what we're talking about.
Exactly. And then also on the opposite side of that, the people who don't say anything because they're afraid, oh, it's going to ruffle this feather, you know, this person. It's too much for me to bear the load of trying to make people happy and all that stuff. That's not what we're talking about. Nope. Again, we're not trying to give you this podcast and say, here's how you make everyone in your life happy.
No.
And if you just talk to them this way, all your problems are solved. No. Not going to work that way, you know. But for your close relationships, especially the ones that are primary to you, the one that you need to 100% be on the same page and in unity and to be aware of their life and then aware of how to encourage them and help them and grow with them, right?
Yep.
There needs to be a sense of I'm watching to see how do you respond, even to just regular conversation. Again, not how do you respond when I roast you or whatever, you know, but...
Right. I mean, it's what Jesus asked us to do, though. In fact, he commanded it.
Yeah, exactly.
That you love one another as I have loved you.
Yes.
That's what we're commanded to do. Yeah. And that should be displayed in every part of our life.
Yeah.
By laying down our life for the sake of another. That's the greatest demonstration of love.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, again, now we'll get a little bit more into the... conflict resolution part of things, because yes, that's important for daily communication, but even more so when there is conflict, how do you resolve it? You know, again, all of the stuff we have been talking about is how to not get to the extreme conflict side of things, but how to resolve the quickly, you know, not making the big deal out of conversations, but how to keep people in unity.
Yep.
But for the situations where there is conflict, it does get extremely hard to communicate because there's some fresh roadblocks that you might not even know that there's roadblocks up, but there's a fresh pothole that you just created, you know? There's someone who's like,
wounded on the highway.
Yeah, I've been extremely hurt by this situation, by what someone said, and now this is a sensitive area, you know? So the tensions are already high.
Yes.
They're already going to hear in a different way from what you're maybe trying to say.
That's correct.
So we need to be aware of the hurt that has happened. We need to take into account their experience.
Right.
Doesn't mean we have to change what we say in order to just make them feel all happy and nice and all that stuff, because we do speak the truth in love.
Yep.
But whenever there's conflict, it's really easy for there to be a misread of intentions, of what you actually said. And, you know, it can be really tough to have a clear, easy, nice communication whenever there is conflict. So, again, it's even more important that we focus on listening to the heart of the individual and that we communicate our heart to the other person, not just like, I'm just going to tell you like it is because this is just my personality. But, hey, I want you to know that I care for you. I want you to know that I'm here for you. I want you to know that I want us to be unified together, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, and I've had to learn a lot of that from Heather. I can get, if I'm not careful, when I get into a conversation where there's even some conflict resolution happening, I can get so focused on making my point that I'm not sensitive to her or others. Mm-hmm. And She's good to remind me about the need to say, well, you know, how was their heart at the end of that, you know, that conversation? Yeah, yeah. What was that like? And or to even say to me, you know, I would love to hear this kind of conclusion, this kind of affirmation in the midst of all this, because that's the stuff that in the midst of a conflict, that's where the tension, the doubts, the thoughts start coming in. So you have to read that.
Yeah.
And be aware of that and give lots of affirmation.
Absolutely. And again, we need to be the ones that understand what can I change so that there can be reconciliation? What can I change so that they hear me and actually what I'm trying to say? What can I change so that they know I care for them?
Right.
You know, if those are not already in place, then we must be the ones that take the step toward that instead of just being like, well, I'll just wait until they come around to knowing who I actually am. You're just probably going to delay the actual reconciliation process there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, even when it comes to this idea of communicating in conflict, there's a path that people take today that seems easy, but it usually ends up with more conflict. And it is attempting to try to solve conflict by text.
The worst.
It's the worst.
The worst. Yes. And I would add on to that social media as well.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yes.
You know, like, yeah, hey, let me just make this Facebook rant and hope that it actually resolves the conflict with my friends. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Right.
Let me know how it goes.
And the reason is because you've just reduced communication down to a series of letters or sounds.
And you can't even change the text font or anything.
That's
like
correct.
That.
You have totally dismissed the importance of reading the other person, of adjusting on the fly, and changing for their sake.
Mm-hmm.
A text is the most one-way information process you can use.
Yeah.
And I tell our staff, Heather and I have practiced this, texting is good for communicating information. Texting is good for communicating affirmation.
Yep.
Texting is terrible for correction and conflict resolution.
Yep.
Because at that time, you need lots of two-way conversation and reading. You need to be able to read body language, eyes, face, tone, approach, response. And good communicators do that.
Yep.
They listen and they learn and they adjust.
Yeah.
Even phone conversation.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to do that for resolving conflict, but even it's better than text, but it's still not the same.
No.
Conflict resolution especially requires the full package of reading and resolving. And so we should never make conflict resolution about, I got something to say and here it is, but this point of working together to try to understand. The Bible speaks about this. Other passages that if you've been around the faith for a while, you'll recognize. Ephesians talks about the importance of speaking the truth in love.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
There is. I have great confidence about what I want to say, just as Jesus did. And I'm going to speak it with great clarity, not just in the way that I hear and communicate, but in the way that you hear and communicate. I will say the truth, but I'll say it in a way where I'm laying down my life for you. I'm laying down my preferences for you. I'm adjusting my way of saying it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And if it means changing my tone, changing my word use, changing the way, the pace, whatever it is, I love you, not myself, so I will adjust for you, not myself.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
This is what Jesus calls us to do. This is what we do. James would write and say, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath.
Mm-hmm.
That applies in listening to God. It applies in listening and learning from others as well.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing is first. Be swift to hear. Be quick. Rush to listen. Rush to gather information. Rush to take in all that's in the road, the roadblocks, the pylons, the whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then be slow to speak. Take what you've heard, seen, observed. Now use that to craft what you're going to say, and say it carefully, say it slowly if you must, so that it goes past all the mental roadblocks and goes right to the heart. That this is so it's so clear when you see it all of a sudden, like, duh, it's everywhere in scripture. You know?
Exactly.
It's what God calls us to do, and it's the way to life.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's the toughest part, is because this works best. I would just say best. I'm not making it exclusive, but this works best when both parties want the best for one another.
It's true.
Because whenever there is a hey, I've got to get mine, and I don't care if the other person actually understands what I'm saying. But, hey, only one side's communicating at that point, honestly.
Correct. You
know? And so there needs to be communication from both sides. Yep. There needs to be an upfront, like, hey, I'm for you, you're for me.
Yep.
We can now communicate from here on out, you know? And so that's a good and important thing to establish early, and then especially if in that relationship, both people are wanting God to be glorified through their relationship, through their conversations, through how they relate, all this stuff, right?
Yep.
So if the other person is uninterested, hard-hearted, narcissistic, abusive, you can't just take this approach.
No.
You're going to have to take a different approach.
Yeah, when because, they have-
yeah I was going to say, you can speak the truth in love all day long, but if their ears are literally closed to it, you're going to have to change because of a roadblock.
Yeah.
You're going to have to communicate in a better way. It's not, you're going to have more points, or you're going to have more, you know, clever stuff with it.
Yeah.
You can try all day long.
Yeah.
I think you'll find yourself exhausted because you have to have a different way in which to communicate to a person.
Yeah. If the bridge is out, if the road is impossible, impassable, then you have to have a different approach.
Yeah.
We find that throughout Scripture, because there will be those, as we read the story, and we know from history now, there are those who heard Jesus, saw Jesus, Jesus adjusted for, Jesus demonstrated to, and they still did not hear. They did not understand. And it had nothing to do with Jesus' inability to communicate. It had everything to do with their ability to hear. They chose not to. And because of that, a different set of circumstances unfolded from heaven's perspective. Because when a person won't hear, it's because their heart has gotten hard. And what they need when that happens is not more words. What they need in that moment is for their heart to be broken. They need to come to a place where they can have a soft heart to hear again. And that is out of our control. That is where God steps in to bring about a brokenness so they will once hear again, hopefully. Now, that's a whole different line of thought.
You know, about different podcasts right there.
Communicating to those with a... who've hardened their heart. As we've tried to clarify today, this is designed for a moderately healthy to healthy relationship. Two people wanting to communicate and wanting to do so well and wanting to do so for God's glory. But there's so much here, and it all finds its root, of course, in Scripture and what Jesus says to us. You know, this is how I command you to live. This is how we're called to live with one another, to love one another as I have loved you. And the greatest love he demonstrated by laying down his life for us. And this ought to be true for us as we communicate. So, man, when you bring this method of communicating into your relationships, you bring Jesus right into the middle of it. He shows up, and he will bless, and there will be life, and there will be freedom from your own selfishness and pride. And you'll bring the potential for real closeness into the relationship. When that other person senses that you genuinely love them, you genuinely care about them, chances are they are going to be more than ready to open their heart to you. They will hear what you have to say. There's a phrase we used to use, and it said it so much, it's been around a while, it's kind of trite now, but no one cares what you have to say until they know how much you care about them to begin with. And it's true. And when you can communicate that you care, that you love, then you the roadblocks begin to be moved. They remove them themselves. And you can speak right into the deepest place of their life. So, man, good truth from Jesus today for us. Good truth that helps us truly live it out. And hope it's been helpful to you. We have... here at Vertical, we've been all about relationships and real family matters recently, and hope this becomes an effective not just tool for you, but a way of life.
Yeah,
exactly. It's how we're called to live. And if we live this way, then I can guarantee you every relationship you have will be different as a result of it. So thanks for joining us today. Try it out. Live it out.
Yeah.